Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we continue with the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 47, this time verses 1 to 9 and 12. And may I remind you, if you're a new listener, take this information in. If you're a regular listener, I hope you are already heeding this word that I want to speak to you. Please, 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 when you're listening to this program, if it's at all possible, have a Bible in front of you. Please. Because the Word of God is powerful, but we need to cooperate. And many times by both hearing and seeing, we can't always do it, but when we can, make it a habit. By hearing and by seeing, we're less subject to distraction, and the Word of God can actually get into our minds, into our way of thinking, and it can begin to affect change in us. Because the Word is living. The Word has power to do that. But sometimes the soil of our hearts isn't tilled, and the seed, as the parables tell us, the seed gets picked off by birds and all kinds of things. You can draw your own conclusions of what picks off the seed in your life, who or what. So what we want to do is be in a position where the soil is fertile, where we water it, and then we allow the seed to go down in it. And it's watered by God's grace, so it's watered by prayer, it's watered by caring for the needs of others. It's watered in a variety of ways, but it needs to be regularly watered. All right, let's take a look at Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 to 9, and then verse 12. The angel brought me, Ezekiel, back to the entrance of the temple of the Lord, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the right side. And then when he had walked off to the east with a measuring cord in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and he had me wade through the water, which was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 and once more had me wade through the water, which was now knee deep. Again he measured off 1,000 and had me wade. The water was up to my waist. Once more he measured off 1,000, but there was now a river through which I could not wade, for the water had risen so high that it had become a river that could not be crossed except by swimming. And he asked me, "Have you seen this, son of man? Have you seen this? Do you see what's happening here? Where are the living waters, brothers and sisters, in our lives? They flow from the side of Christ. They flow through baptism. They flow through the other sacraments. They flow through God's gracious gifts to my soul. Am I receiving that? Or does the water simply run off? Does it have no chance to be absorbed by the earth because I pay it little or no attention? I express no gratitude. I don't obey what the Lord has asked of me. Where am I? Am I in the water? Am I on the shore just looking at it and don't want to get in? Where am I? You and I need the living water that flows from the side of Christ. We need that water flowing through the sacraments. We need it, brothers and sisters, not only for life to be sustained, but for new life to grow in our lives. All the things I talk about in these programs, the things that God wants to do in our lives. The living water is there for us to irrigate the soil of our hearts and our minds. The water is there to nourish the seed if we plant the seed. If we ask God to plant the seed of faith, first of all, deep in our hearts, and hope and of love, plant them deep in my heart, Lord. And pray that way every day. And open our hearts to receive that living water every day. And we see change. We see remarkable change. Then he brought me to the bank of the river where he had me sit. And along the bank of the river, I saw very many trees on both sides. And he said to me, this water flows into the eastern district down upon the Arabah and empties into the sea, the salt waters which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live. And there shall be abundant fish, for wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is telling us prophetically, draw near to me. I am the living water. Draw near to me. Let that water flood your soul. And let that water reach through you to the lives of others who walk in darkness, who walk in desert wastelands. Right in your own neighborhood, that's happening. Your local grocery store, your gas station, your pharmacy, your local hospital, your car repair place, wherever. There are people dying there, brothers and sisters, because they don't have the living water. God wants to use you. But you can't give what you don't have. So you need time in prayer, day after day, even if it's a short time every day, but regular prayer, regular reading of the Word of God that's living, is active, that can irrigate the soil of your soul, that can allow the flood waters to rush through you and bring life to many. Psalm 46, the Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. God is our refuge and our strength. Do you believe that? Do you say that? Do you mean that? An ever-present help in distress. Therefore, we fear not though the earth be shaken and mountains plunge into the depths of the sea. Even if there was catastrophe on this earth, we would still believe. There is a stream whose runlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst. It shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. Come, behold the deeds of the Lord, the astounding things he has wrought on earth. Read the scriptures. See what God has done. God wants to do all of that for us in our own time. God wants to show us the way safely home. God wants to bring so many people with us. God wants to open our hearts, to stretch our hearts, to expand them, our minds and our spirits, that the living water can flow through us. Receive this land, what God has for you. And the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, with five porticos. In these lay a large number of ill, blind, lame, and crippled. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Think of it, brothers and sisters. Been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be well? Do you want to be well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pond when the water is stirred up. While I am on my way, dragging his body, someone else gets down there before me. Can you imagine the anguish, the anger, the frustration, the pain, the depression? All of that you would go through. And Jesus said to him, because he didn't turn away. He kept trying to get toward the water. It's an analogy for us. Even when things go against us, keep persevering, keep going toward the water of life. That's one of the things that the gospel is trying to show us. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your mat and walk. 38 years? Can you imagine? And immediately the man became well, took up his mat, and walked. Now, that day was the Sabbath, so we've got a problem here. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your mat." And he answered them, "The man who made me well told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is this man who told you, 'Take it up and walk?'" The man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away since there was a crowd there. And after this, Jesus found him. So Jesus came looking for him, knowing that he must be mightily confused and not knowing what to do. After this, Jesus found him in the temple area, and he said to him, "Look, you are well. Do not sin anymore." So sin must have been at the root of his condition. Some sin. "Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse may happen to you." So he gave him warning. So he must have been a real sinner. 38 years of waiting to be healed, and Jesus heals him. The man went and told the Jews that Jesus was the one who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he did this on a Sabbath. Do you notice they questioned the man, but they didn't praise God for his healing? They only focused on the rules. He did this and he shouldn't have done that and he shouldn't be carrying a mat. He was healed. He couldn't walk for over 38 years. He's healed. Everybody knows about him. He's healed. And what do the Pharisees say? "You're carrying a mat on the Sabbath. It's not lawful to carry anything on the Sabbath." Do you see how everything for the Pharisee is out of proportion? He can't see that the rules are there to lead to a greater end, and they're actually experiencing the end of obedience to God through the healing of this man, but they can't see it. Because their eyes are blinded and their ears are deafened, they can't see beyond their own pride, their own position, their own privilege position. They can't see beyond that to the truth of what's going on. And how many times are you and I blinded by our own pride, our own arrogance? Sometimes we're blinded by our own hurt and pain. And we can't see what God is doing because God hasn't answered our prayer the way we think he needs to answer it. God is always using the difficulties in our lives to draw us closer to him, to really draw us close to him. Are we letting the trials and the crosses of our lives do that? Or have we given in to anger and bitterness and loss of faith? Trust him. Trust him. You can be sure that whatever God does and however God heals you, you can be certain that it will be greater than anything you could have hoped for. Put your trust in him. God bless you. All of us at one time or another in our lives have to endure suffering. How do we suffer as a disciple of Christ? For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.